There's a wonderful verse from the writings of St. Paul. It goes like this: if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 31 or 32, somewhere in there. If God is for us, who can be against us? It comes from the part where Paul is reflecting on the many hardships that Christians face, including the weaknesses of our own fallen nature and many obstacles. And he says, well, yes, that's all true, but not only if God is for us, but God is for us. God is for us. So since God is for us, it doesn't matter all that, all those obstacles and problems and weaknesses, even sins, because God has overcome sin and death in Jesus Christ. So that verse from Romans chapter 8 comes to mind in reflecting on today's readings. It's a kind of a key to interpret what we hear this morning. In today's gospel, Jesus says some strong words, maybe frightening words, about whether we're on God's side or not, whether we acknowledge him before men or not, whether we blaspheme the Holy Spirit or not. And he says, well, if we acknowledge the Lord, we will be acknowledged. We can be forgiven if in weakness we say a word against him. But if we turn against the Holy Spirit, if we stand in opposition to the Holy Spirit, well, then we won't have forgiveness. That sounds very harsh to us, that there's the possibility of not being forgiven. His point is not that God will turn against us, but that we have the capacity of turning against God. That's why I go back to that verse from Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, God is for us, but we can turn against ourselves and thereby make ourselves or leave ourselves separated from the mercy of God. And this is part of what Jesus is trying to say. Don't worry about God being against you. After all, no matter who else turns against you when you're taken before rulers and authorities, he says, you don't have to worry about that, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. But if you turn against the Holy Spirit, well, then what defense are you going to have? So it's a very basic principle. God is for us, but are we for God? You can think back to last Sunday. We read the story of the rich man who declared himself for God. He wanted eternal life. He was following all the commandments. But when Jesus tested the dedication of the man, when he tested his attachments to his treasures, the man turned away. He went away sad, remember? He went away sad. He thought that his money, his many possessions, would guarantee his happiness, so he held on to them. But in holding on to those things, he turned away from the real source of happiness, the Lord, and that's why he ended up sad, even though he was still rich. Well, that's an example of what I think is at work here when Jesus says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. He's talking about this turning away from God. When we turn away from God, if we stand against God, if we separate ourselves from God, well, then we don't have the joy of forgiveness. It is a sad condition. It's a tragic condition. But if we decide for God, if we accept that God is for us and we're for him, well, then we don't have to worry about anything else. No matter who's against us, we don't have to worry about our defense, because God is our defense, and the Holy Spirit will teach us what we are to say and do. St. Paul has this conviction that everything is for us. And this is what he speaks about in today's first reading, another passage from this beautiful letter to the Ephesians. He prays that the Ephesians, the people who he's writing to, will will receive from God a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of Him. He prays that they will really know God, that they will know that He's on their side. Then he says this beautiful prayer, "May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to His call, what are the riches of glory in His inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power for us who believe." He said, look at how rich we are, how powerful we are, what an inheritance we have, what hope we have. He's saying, I pray that you will see that, that your heart will recognize this great gift, this extraordinary treasure that we have in Christ. Because if we have this treasure, well, then we won't have to worry about anything else. We won't have to cling to any earthly possessions. We won't have to worry about any powers that turn against us, because everything is already offered to us in Jesus Christ. Very, very optimistic, you could say, a very positive stance toward the difficulties of life in this world, in our journey through this world. So St. Paul has this conviction, and remember, he himself faced all sorts of sufferings, all sorts of persecution, opposition, and he was able to persevere because he said, well, if God is for us, who can be against us? All the opposition that's piled up against me, well, that's no competition for God. This is also the conviction that we see in today's saints, the North American martyrs, these French Jesuit missionaries who went to North America in the early days and evangelized the native tribes. They knew that they were facing some really dangerous situations. They knew that the tribes they were reaching out to were fiercely opposed to each other, for one thing, and that they, when they turned against their enemies, they had brutal tortures for their enemies. So if, and the Jesuits who went into this situation, well, they wanted to evangelize everybody. They weren't just choosing one tribe, but it doesn't work that way when tribes are in war with each other. So they kind of walked into a very hostile territory, and they found themselves brutally tortured, captured, brutally tortured, and martyred. Then they knew this was a possibility. In fact, Isaac Joes is famous for this. He was evangelizing there in that region between southern Canada and northern United States. And he was captured, and they tortured him. In fact, they chewed off his fingers. And then he escaped. He went back to France. He petitioned to be able to go back. He wanted to go back to that region to continue the mission. So he knew exactly what he was facing. Now, what is going on in the mind of someone who faces that sort of pain, that sort of danger? The conviction in the mind of a missionary like that is, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. And God also loves these tribes. God wants to set them free too, just like He has set me free. So Isaac Joes and John de Brebeuf, they had this overflowing love for God, gratitude to God, confidence in God. And because of that, they marched right into the dangers of evangelizing the tribes there in North America. And they paid the price for it, but they did it with joy. He said, even if they kill me, I'm not going to lose. I join in the victory of Christ. You see, the overwhelming confidence that they had in God, and that's the confidence that comes with Christian faith. So we don't have to worry about God denying us before the angels or God refusing to forgive us, because He doesn't do that. What we do have to worry about is being against ourselves, turning away from this great treasure, leaving us sad, even though we might have earthly advantages. If we don't have God, we don't have anything. We don't have any defense. We don't have any joy, not real joy. And we don't have anything to offer anyone else. But if we accept this gift, as St. Paul did, as North American martyrs did, then not only are we filled with confidence and joy, but we have a great treasure to share with others.